Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 141-128 win over the Grizzlies, the return of Steph Curry to the tune of 38 points, 10 of 13 on threes, and 13 of 17 from the field. We'll hear from head coach Steve Kerr and talk about the Warriors' upcoming road trip. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, it was the Steph Curry show on display the other day in that win that the Warriors had against the Grizzlies, 141-128. Just a dazzling array of three-point shots for one thing, and, you know, and other stuff too, the way he was cutting to the basket, the way he was passing. I mean, the guy, he was dying to get back in the lineup. That was clear, and, man, that was fun to watch.
It just shows you what a difference he can make. And no rust, no worries about that. He was firing away, what was he, 10 for 13 from three-point range.
Yeah.
Steph will have those nights when he's locked in, and he was locked in, and I know that he really wanted to come back before that game. But as we've been counseling, and I'm sure the Warriors are listening to us, but as we've been counseling, no need to rush it. I know he wanted to play Christmas Day against the Cavaliers, but all things considered, I think it worked out pretty well. The way that he stretches out a defense. Now, it's interesting because that was not the usual game that at least we're used to when we see Memphis. But Memphis has picked up the pace, and so those two teams were trading baskets. They needed that firepower.
They did. I mean, yeah, it was pretty close there in the first half. And, I mean, to have 78 points at the half for the Warriors, you know things are going really well. And even Zaza Pachulia was heavily involved in the offense this time. He had 17 points. He was getting a lot of passes. He made that pass to Steph Curry that was highlight material where he passed it between his legs. I don't know that Steve Kerr wants him to do that all the time, but these players like to have fun. And that was definitely a great moment in the game.
Well, he wants to play with joy, and that brought a moment of joy, did it not? And,
yeah,
a very strong game for Zaza. What Kerr really appreciates about Zaza was the physicality. And I don't know, that may be a word I want to strike out in 2018, but I'll just use it one more time, the physicality that he brings, the tone that he sets in that regard, and some crunching screens that he sets, that, you know, a few that set Steph free. For three-point shots, it's an unappreciated aspect of the game. His ability to box out on rebounds. He's a good positional defender. I mean, he's not terribly athletic like some of these other guys are, but he gets the job done. And again, they provides a little of the muscle that this team needs. So a little appreciation for Zaza here, absolutely.
You can see how hard it is to you know, not only cover him, but just sort of like, you know, not forget about him, because with Curry there, you're trying to overplay, and I thought Marc Gasol had a very difficult job because you can't just stay with Pachulia the whole time. You got to play some help defense, and that leaves Pachulia open.
Oh, yeah, multiple times, and, you know, that's a theme we'll probably see throughout the rest of the year when Zaza is in there. Now, it depends on the team you're playing as well, but certainly for Memphis, job one has to be to stop, for every team, is to try to stop Steph, and if you do that, well, then Durant may get you, and that's kind of a two-headed monster. Or Clay will get you. We'll call it a three-headed monster. And oh, by the way, they got this done without Draymond Green, who that's one of the quickest triggers I've seen in a while for an official.
Yeah, let's talk about that because, okay, the first time, the first technical, he was giving the official, you know, a little bit of mouth there. He kind of was giving him as much as he could. But the second time around, all he did was wave his hand that he didn't agree with the call. And it was a foul, there's no doubt. But I can't believe you get ejected for that. That really shows that the reputation of Draymond kind of sticks with the officials. And that seemed like a personal thing. Like, hey, you yelled at me the first time, I'm going to get you the second time.
Well, this is also in the context of a bigger issue between the players and the officials right now. The officials are sounding off a little bit more about how players are mouthing off to them. And this is a growing issue. And again, we covered that with Mike Breen earlier this season, that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, they're kind of laying down the law saying we're going to have pretty close to a no-tolerance policy for players who protest, and we're going to tee them up. Well, as time has gone on, that has loosened a bit. And the Warriors this year, let's face it, one of the things that I don't like about this Warriors team this year is that they do mouth off to the officials a lot more than maybe other teams do. And I think even Steve Kerr has said it, you know, let's just knock that off and focus on playing the game. And I think that, you know, most of the players have taken that to heart. You know, for example, Kevin Durant vocalized that. Yeah, we've got to focus our energies on trying to win this game and not on the officials. Now, with Draymond, that part of that reputation is earned. There's no doubt about it. He's been at the forefront of getting in the referee's face or having comments with the officials. At the same time, a lot of these officials have overreacted because of that, and so the bar is set lower for Draymond, I think, than it is for other players in the league. Again, part of that is earned, and you know he's got a track record now going back a couple of years. But so that leads to what you saw the other night against Memphis, where there's a quick trigger. But having said all that, that was horrible.
That was horrible.
That was embarrassing for an official to be that sensitive in that situation when all they did was wave, and a lot of other players do worse. Now, there have been games this year where I thought Draymond and I thought KD would get ejected, and they did not. So I think it depends on the official that you're getting, but that was a little embarrassing the other night.
Well, maybe this is a wake-up call for the Warriors because, honestly, Ray, I think this is a serious issue. I don't think it's minor. I think that if you're going to complain a lot, and you got the two top technical guys in the league in Draymond with 10 and Durant has 8. Those are the two worst as far as getting technical fouls. And you don't want this to happen in the postseason where one of these guys is going to get kicked out of the game because of technical fouls. I mean, they need to calm it down, and they need to do it right away. I mean, you got to figure out a way to just turn their backs against these calls, not complain so much. We've been talking about it. Like you said, this whole first half of the season, they need to figure a way to knock that out. I think Steve Kerr has to have a meeting about that.
Well, he probably has already, has had discussions with players. And again, with Draymond, you take the total package, and that includes sometimes getting ejected from games. And Durant has gotten run from a few games this year so far as well. And they have had situations where they've had players run in playoff games. It happened with Draymond a couple of years ago. May happen again. So I think all in all, you take everything that Draymond gives this team, but if he's able to tone it down just a little bit, I think that'll work to their benefit. I think he was fairly focused in the postseason last year, so you know maybe as we get down to the nitty gritty, he's going to avoid getting that one game suspension, or maybe he gets the one game suspension at the very end of the season when it doesn't matter. Well, come playoff time, you're not going to hit that threshold. But you know this is an undercurrent with the officials, and I think probably subconsciously they look at the Warriors and say, "Come on, guys, you're already the most talented team in the league. You got to bitch and moan as well. you don't need to see that as well." I'm sure a lot of officials are looking at it that way. It's not to say that some of these calls are not good calls or that they've been missed. There are some occasions where they are missed. It happens with every game, with every official. And some of these officials later will tell you, "Hey, I missed that call." I think that from the player side, that's all they want is communication with the referees. When it comes down to a point where they're just cutting you off, that's not good for anybody.
More Dubs OT right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
After the Warriors win over the Grizzlies on Saturday, Steve Kerr talked to the media.
What can you say? The guy goes 10 for 13 after not playing in an NBA game for a month. And even, you know, the other team went 15 for 21. Even they were hot, just because Steph was in the build. Steph makes everybody shoot better, I think. It's crazy. But that was remarkable. I mean, just to do what he did in 25 minutes, to come out the way he did. Looked like he didn't skip a beat, and that's hard to play, you know, in a game when you haven't played in a game for a month, and all you've played basically is 3-on-3. But he just makes it look so easy, and you can feel it in the building. You know, everything's different, the tempo, the energy, the crowd's going nuts, and Steph is he's special.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Let's also hear from Steph Curry.
Yeah, I just was happy to be back out there with my guys, and you know, you sit and watch for 11 games, you just just wonder what it's gonna be like to get back out there, and finally got that opportunity. I didn't know what to expect. Just wanted to get some good reps, get up and down, see how my my wind was, and surprisingly, I know I shot it well, but I think my body felt way better than I expected. And the work that, you know, put in with the athletic training staff and the strength conditioning, you know, crew helped me be ready to just jump out there and be in rhythm. It was a fun game. So, you know, my goal is to try to just push the pace on offense and do the things that, you know, get us that energy, and get the ball moving and get everybody involved. And it was kind of an avalanche on the offensive end. And it was good to get out there and play.
Back with more Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Let's get back to talking about the Warriors without Curry and then with Curry, because without Curry, they depended on, you know, big games really from Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and others that really chipped in. And the style of play was different, Ray. I mean, they didn't have somebody to go through, really. They didn't have, you know, the sort of the true point guard that can do so much like Curry. And I thought early on you could just see the difference, the pace of the game in the first quarter, the way the Warriors were running the floor. It's not just about the threes with Steph, of course. It's just the pace. And they got back to being really the Warriors that we've seen for the last few years, and that's where you miss them. It's not that you're not going to win games. They go 9-2 without Curry, but they're not playing at the same pace.
No, not playing at the same pace or the same level. There's no doubt about that. They did very well without Steph, and one of the reasons they did, even with the slower pace, was they played very good defense. But you could see the contrast between the Charlotte game and the Memphis game. I mean, they're god-awful against Charlotte. They admitted that. And I think that had come to the point where they really needed Steph to come back. Of course, you always miss a player of that caliber, but I think they got by for a while. You said it before, you can get by without a great player for a while if you possess the depth the Warriors have. But at some point, hey, you're going to really miss him. You need him back. I think they had reached that point against Charlotte, and they needed that shot in the arm, that boost of energy, and they got it. And I think that's part of the reason, along with just Steph being in there, why the pace was so frenetic. They were charged up to have him back, and the fact that he made some shots early and you thought, okay, he's not rusty, Steph is back, that also brought a jolt of energy to the team and to the arena, by the way.
You know, it really amazes me, and we talk about Steph and his shooting a lot, but I was really kind of glued in on how he alters his shots, you know, how he can hit the different shots, okay? So he'll catch and shoot, and a lot of guys are good at catch and shoot. He can dribble and create and then shoot, and that's sort of the other skill that a lot of NBA players have. They sort of have one or the other, you would think, you know, either the dribble, shoot, or the catch and shoot. But he also the standstill three. I mean, where he'll be able to jump stop or be standing somewhere and just quick release it, and boom, he shoots that one well. It's amazingly just a variety of ways that he can shoot that three.
Yeah, good luck with the standstill three, and the flyby is always a lot of fun, too.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways. And added to that, and I think what makes him also a very effective three-point shooter, is that he has become a better finisher at the rim.
Yeah.
So you know, you're thinking about that. You're thinking that he might blow by you, and then maybe you give him a little extra space that way. But where he's so good, what sets him apart from so many players is his ability to create his own space on the dribble, and you know, against a bigger guy, forget it. I think Marc Gasol is still dizzy from trying to guard him a couple of times.
Oh yeah, and he was a defensive player of the year at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, a few years back. Tough to ask the defensive player of the year is his size to guard a guy like Curry, that's for sure. So yeah, he'll be doing that to big guys on mismatches for a few years to come. But that's one of the things that I always marvel at with Steph is, you know, he has put a premium on ball handling, and that ball handling allows him not only to get out of tight spaces, but to create the space to be able to shoot the three. Or in some cases, you get a screen, and again, having Zaza back is a benefit for that, and he's able to shoot around that. Clay is picture-perfect jump shot. He's as quick as anybody on the release on the catch and shoot. He's got a little bit better at going to the elbow or getting the mid-range jumper or even finishing at the rim, and a better passer too. But Steph is just set apart from everybody else in that regard.
The passing really was superb. I mean, when you're getting easy shots for Pachulia, who, by the way, was 6-for-6 from the field, and then Jordan Bell, too. I mean, he had some thunderous dunks where he's just wide open because, you know, everybody's worried about those guards and everybody's shooting. And Bell does a good job of playing along the baseline, kind of, you know, cutting along the baseline and get those reverse jams or whatever he needs to do. It's all around the basket.
Well, the more he plays, the more he will improve in that area. The more he will know exactly where he's supposed to be, what his teammates are looking for, what to look for from them, unspoken communication that you get. And, you know, that is one of several reasons why you got to play this kid and get him more playing time. He's going to be a center of the future for this team. You can see a front line of Durant, Draymond, and Jordan Bell, my goodness, for a few years to come. And he's also, on top of that, the more he plays, the more you see some nuance in his offensive game. He's got a couple of moves. He's very good at finishing the rim himself. And a little mid-range 10 to 12-foot jumper baseline or near the elbow, he's got that as well. And I think his game will expand as time goes on. But above everything else, the athleticism, the ability to guard multiple positions, and you get three guys on the front line who can do that. That's going to be quite a proposition for opponents going forward. He's going to make mistakes, but that, again, that's why you play him. Work that out and learn from that. And I think that process is ongoing as we hit the midway point of the season.
More Dubs OT after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Let's talk about the strategy for the Warriors on this upcoming road trip that starts Wednesday night in Dallas and then the next night in Houston. Now, you know, you don't want to look ahead too much, but at the same time, I mean, don't you want to have all your guns blazing for the Thursday game when you're playing back-to-back? And even though you've had days off now between games to get to that Dallas game, what do you do as far as, you know, playing time if you're Steve Kerr in the Dallas game knowing that Houston is looming?
Well, part of that problem has been solved, apparently, or unfortunately, with Draymond Green. He tweaked his ankle during a scrimmage, so it looks like he's out against Dallas. That's a team they should still be able to beat without him, and maybe he's able to go against Houston the next night. But they're missing James Harden. The Rockets are. So he may not be back for the January 20th game against the Warriors as well. So that's a huge loss for them. That makes it a little easier for the Warriors as well. If I'm Steve Kerr, I am lobbying with the referees early on in the Houston game. You know, watch out for Chris Paul pushing off and flopping. I'm sure he's done it before. That's been a common theme for the Warriors when they go up against Chris Paul. But without James Harden, I would favor the Warriors in both those games, even in Houston, as long as they're close to healthy. And, you know, we'll see how Draymond's going down the road. When Draymond walked out of the arena the other night, I thought, oh, we're not going to see him till next year. And sure enough, we're going to even have to wait a few days. But, you know, hopefully he's going to be okay for the long run. He's been dinged up a little bit this year, so you got to manage that carefully. Fortunately for the Warriors, again, they have that depth. Caspi has been in and out, and I think he's been an important bench player for them. So maybe he gets extended minutes as well.
Yeah, it is too bad when one or both of your star player, you know, in this team, it could be three or four star players, but any of those guys are out. It's too bad because you like to see the lineup that went out there against Memphis, that starting lineup. I mean, that's it. That's the lineup you'd see in the playoffs if they're all healthy. So it does make it fun to see the other guys come in, you know, see what they can do. But at the same time, you want to get that unit playing together as much as you can, I would think, in the second half of the year.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And, you know, once you get through this, there's another road trip coming up after this. They got the three-gamer, and then they got two at home, and then they're back out on the road, and that includes Cleveland and Houston. I think that as we go down the home stretch, Steve Kerr is going to try to get that group together and playing a little bit more. But, yeah, they have a formula as far as managing the minutes. They've done this before, right, you know, over the last few years. And gotten to June each of the last three seasons,
right,
anticipating four in a row. So I think they understand what they need to do. The benefit they have this year is they have a little better depth, so they can manage those minutes a little more judiciously than even in the past. So you got veteran guys like Iguodala and Sean Livingston you've got to really be mindful of, because you definitely want to have those guys fresh for the postseason. Andre is at the point in his career now where, you know, one day he looks like 35-year-old Andre, the next day he looks like 25-year-old Andre. You want the 25-year-old Andre for the postseason. We saw that from time to time last year, for example, against Cleveland. So you want to make sure you see as much of the younger version of Andre as possible.
You know, also on this road trip, a game in L.A. against the Clippers over the weekend that we won't be talking about until we podcast again next week. And the Clippers are kind of an interesting team right now because they're not far out of a playoff spot. They're only a game and a half out of that last playoff spot. And, you know, you wonder how they would play this year without Chris Paul. And they're kind of hanging in there. They're not a great team, but, you know, they just beat Charlotte, a team that beat the Warriors. And they're always going to be pretty competitive, although the Warriors have owned the Clippers in recent years.
Yeah, I tend to think it doesn't really matter at this point who they roll out there. The Warriors just love to beat the Clippers. they love to demoralize them if they can. It has been a weird year for the Clippers. They got up to a fast start, and then they really struggled. But like you said, they're kind of hanging in there. But, you know, that's a team. I don't want to say I don't worry about them. They're totally remade, you know, from last year. And I think they're still finding their way. But if the Warriors are right, that's a team that they just love to hammer.
Yeah, I was looking at the Clippers are averaging 116 points a game the last six games. So they're a high-scoring team. And if the Warriors end up in a game like the game against Memphis, then you're going to have a ton of points. We don't mind that. I don't know how the coaches feel, though. I wonder if Steve Kerr, you know, he loved seeing that game that Curry put up. But when he looks at the defensive side of it, giving up 128, I'm sure he didn't like that.
Well, yeah, then you look at the pace. And Memphis was shooting out of its mind for a while the other night. That'll happen. As long as you're shooting well, you don't mind that. But I think all things being equal, he wants a little bit better defensive effort. I don't think the Warriors mind playing a team with pace. They're like, okay, bring it on, because usually they win those types of games. They can win the slowdown game too, but I think they prefer to play at more pace. It's just a matter of points per 100 possessions. That's what you look at. The Warriors are not quite as good as they've been in the past, but they've crawled up the charts a little bit as the season goes on. Now, again, you want to have all your guys together. I think once that happens, and they go down the stretch, you're going to see their defensive numbers improve. But, you give Clippers credit. Austin Rivers has had some big games of late, hasn't he? So he seems to like that pace. But if they're averaging 116 a game, I'd like to see what they're giving up per game during that stretch. But I smell another one of those 141 to 128 games.
All right, to finish up, let's talk about the dentist, because you're headed to the dentist, which is kind of like opposing teams facing the Warriors right now. It's like getting in the dentist chair, right? I think it's a little different experience for everybody. I'll say, from my experience, my dentist is great because he loves sports. He'll talk sports while he's working on my mouth, but the problem is I can't really talk back, It's all about his opinion. So what happens with you?
Well, I used to have a dentist where he'd be talking to his assistant about his condo in Tahoe, and I didn't need to hear that. I'm glad to help you out. I don't really want a whole lot of discussion. I like a dentist who's down to business and just talks a little bit. I've been to this dentist so much lately that they serve me coffee every time I come in. It's just like, oh, good morning, hey, you're back again. I've had a root canal. I had to have a wisdom tooth pulled, and now I'm getting a couple of cavities pulled. It's funny. 20 years clean. I had a clean sheet, as they say in soccer. But this year it all came at once when I changed dentists. So I'm wondering if my old dentist dropped the ball a little bit. We've been hurrying up, because everybody does their work at the end of the year, right? You want to get that in for the insurance. And so I got the major stuff done, and now hopefully this is the last time I see these guys for a while, and I'm sure they'll be glad not to see me for a while as well.
Well, you going to the dentist made me think of an old roommate that I had who came back, and they had pulled, two or three of his teeth, and he was in agony, and he said, that's the last time I wait 17 years to go to the dentist. Just 17 years? I mean, you should be going every year. It could cause a lot of problems.
Well, you would hope so. Yeah, really. He may not have 17 years to go if he doesn't go to the dentist. I mean, you start getting into abscesses and all that nasty stuff. You're a borrowed time, man. Yeah, 17 years. Holy cow. That's a long bet right there.
All right, Ray. Well, enjoy the dentist, if you could really use that word. I don't know. I don't want to use the word enjoy. Just get through it, and we'll talk again next week.
All right. I'll enjoy the Novocaine anyway.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.